This is the Assorted Digital Ramblings podcast, brought to you by Click Through Marketing.
Well, it's been a bloody while, hasn't it? And we've been busy making lots of changes here at Click Through, but we've only changed for the better. But either way, we're back and we're better than ever. And we're here for a new episode of the Assorted Digital Ramblings podcast. But unfortunately, without Chris, because he's off gallivanting in Portugal on a family holiday, lucky bugger. But we do have the amazing Steph back once again, guest, co-host, legend. So what have you been up to, Steph? How are you?
Hello. Yeah, I just get wheeled out, don't I? but no, I actually quite like it. We're kicking off without Chris, which is always fun. But no, it's been good. Like you say, there's been a lot of change. I'm in holiday mode. Today is my last day before I also go gallivanting. So, woohoo! Yeah.
Where are you off to?
I'm going to Morocco, which apparently is about 42 degrees right now. So, yeah.
Oh, my God. Although you do tan really well, so I'm excited to see what that looks like.
Well, I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do. I think I'm either just going to live in a pool or cling to shade because, yeah, I do tan well, but I don't do well in heat. So I don't know why I've picked that destination, really. It's not like it's ever going to be drizzly. So we'll see what happens in a couple of weeks.
Oh, God. Well, I'm excited to see you when you come back all bronzed up and crispy.
And rested. What have you been up to, Liv? You always do exciting things.
Oh, God, I don't. I bloody don't. Most recently, I've been decorating my room and it's gone really well. I'm literally such a little DIY queen, hanging shelves, painting, a little bit of polyfiller here and there. But I also went on a girl's holiday, the very first girl's holiday I've ever been on, and it was fantastic. Literally, shout out to Steph and Jen. It was absolutely incredible. Just genuinely best week of my life.
Where did you go?
Turkey, went to Marmaris. But because we're all like blonde hair, blue eyes, I was going to say Barbie then, but that's because I've got Barbie in my head. we're all like Barbie-ish with like blonde hair, blue eyes. We just got treated like royalty, so it was fantastic. So yeah, it was really, really good.
I love that. It's a nice balance. And they're also just on the shelves. You can come round and put mine up anytime because I've lived in a house for 6 years. And I still have no shelves. So now I know you can do it. I'm going to be calling on you.
Fantastic. Easy peasy lemon squeeze. Get my hammer drill. Get the battery drill out.
Thank you.
That's all I know. But anyway, we have a special guest today. We always have special guests, but this one's an extra special guest because this person is on my team with a Click Through, and he's the most incredible paid social senior paid social executive in the world, Mr. Edward Rollison. Hi, Ed.
Hello, hello. How's it going? Nice to be here.
Good.
I feel like a Click Through celebrity. It's nice to
be
finally on the podcast after many years of it being live. But yeah, excited. How's it going?
Very, very good. Thank you. Are you excited for the hordes of fans that are going to be recognising you in the street now?
I can't wait. I'm going to get the most views for sure. I'm very competitive in that manner. I can't wait to see the podcast view rate after, I've been on it. So yeah, very excited. But yeah, it'll be good.
Love it. As Chris isn't here, I've got to ask you a super important question before we crack on with the topic of the day.
Okay.
And it is, what would you do if not marketing?
Oh, it's always a hard question. I'm a big fan of gaming. I've always had like a big gaming upbringing. I did gaming at university, like a gaming technology course, it was called, something like that. Can't even remember now, it's been a while. I did game technology. So if I was to go anywhere, I'd either like to be making games, playing games, something like that. Probably playing them sounds a bit more fun, maybe like a content creator, something like that. So yeah, bit of a geek, bit of a nerd, but I love it. Gaming's fun. It's probably something down those lines.
Love it. Cool. And do you want to, I don't know, before we hop into anything, do you want to discuss anything else about your role app click through at the minute and what you do and stuff?
Yeah, sure. I can give a brief overview, I suppose. Most people do. As they've mentioned, I'm the senior paid social executive. I do a lot of things to do with paid social media, as it's in the title. So Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Snapchat, all those goodies. Work obviously alongside Liv. She's my main support and things at the business. So yeah, that's like an overview to give. But yeah, it's very amazing. Exciting, very fun. I do really enjoy it.
Good. You should enjoy it working next to me.
It's a highlight. It's a highlight.
He's going to slip you that turn of legs, right, Liv?
Thank you. Amazing. So getting into it today, we're going to be talking about threads. Mm-hmm. Bloody threads.
Thready or not.
Thready or not. Are you thready or not? So, question to Ed and Steph, and me, if I'm honest, what the hell is threads?
Indeed. Who would like to start?
Ed, I can start. I'm going to deviate to you. Yeah.
That's all fine. I guess in short, it's practically a Twitter clone, if we look at it that way. It's obviously a brand new social media app, just come about, say, the last month or so. I don't think it's been out long at all. But it's made by Meta, so Facebook, Instagram and the like. It's pretty much linked straight off your Instagram account. But very similar to Twitter, allows people to post, share images, share videos, interact with other people's posts. You can follow your friends and random people, but it's very much in its infancy. So yeah, there's a lot to be developed within it. But in the short form, it's just a Twitter clone at the moment, or like a Twitter infant. So
nice. Yeah.
What do you guys think about it?
Oh,
go on.
Do you know what? I haven't got it. Yeah. Even though I probably should have it, mm-hmm. but being a paid social...
It's naughty that is, Liv.
Paid social person. I refuse to get it. I refuse to be a slave to the man who just keeps on downloading new social platforms. Mm-hmm. And it's just like Twitter, isn't it? So personally, I don't get it, and we can't market on it yet. So until we can market on it, I'm going to stay clear of it. What about you two? Have you two got it? Have you downloaded it?
I've got it. Only very recently, but I gave it a shot. I can't quite get sunk into it right now. I think it's just mainly because of how far it's been developed. I think I can still get more from Twitter at this moment in time, but no, I think it's good. I've tried it out. I think it does what it needs to do at the moment, but yeah, it's a good little tool. What do you think, Steph?
Good.
Have you tried it?
I can't lie, and this is probably the thing that I'm not meant to say, but at this point, I'm not social enough to have six different versions of things. Like, I just don't. I find it exhausting. I did. Mm-hmm. I am a bit of a dork. I did have a research, because I won't just download something because I'm, like I say, old and untrusting. But I had a nose around on what people were saying and what it looked like. And again, it sounds awful. I kind of just don't care what people have to say. Like, I have got Twitter, and I've got all the OGs, but from the time when they actually were launched, so before YouTube existed.
That's an exaggeration.
But yeah, I just think, and I've only got them because at the time, that's, you know, how we moved into that realm of social media. The more that keep coming, unless it does something that really, really connects with me, no, I'm all right.
That Be Real was around for a bit. Downloaded that, loved it for like a month, and then it just became like a faff, like just showing everyone that I was in bed like every single time it Be Real came on.
Touches your feet.
This is it. The most recent one that I've actually fully fallen in love with is TikTok, and that I will spend my life on. I don't make them. I watch them, and I think I've learned more from TikTok than 15 years of education.
Yeah.
But anything else that is a bit like status updatey, and just unless you're really funny,
you
right.
Can't deal with it.
Yeah, definitely.
I go through like twists and roundabouts with social media. I'm a bit of a devil for it, to be fair, but I'm the same. So I loved TikTok over the past year, but I found myself just sinking way too much time into it, and I wasn't doing anything else in my life. So I go through like installing it, uninstalling it, installing it again, going back to Facebook, going back to Instagram, going back to TikTok. Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's swings and roundabouts of loving it and then hating it, and then sinking too much time into it. But
my other half is the exact same. He keeps downloading it when he's on the toilet and then deleting it straight after, so he doesn't waste all of his time on it. I'm not sure what you're doing. Just keep it and just have some self-control. But either way, back to Threads. Ed, do you know why it was made?
Honestly, I think it's just right place, right time type of mentality.
Yeah.
Twitter was going through and is still going through a lot of controversy, should we say, a lot of like opinion changes, a lot of just overall changes within, say, the platform itself, with Elon taking over and things like that, him making huge changes in terms of how it all works. So I think Meta just like saw an opportunity within the space and kind of just like took it at the time. A lot of users were leaving Twitter because of the changes. Not sure off the top of my head how many people actually left, but it was a huge chunk of users which stopped using it, I think, like into the millions. So, yeah, I think Zuckerberg and Threads just saw an opportunity to almost jump into the space and soak up some of the user base and make something of it from their own. So, yeah, a lot of the right place, right time money, should we say? Yeah, money's always a big one. But
do you reckon it's finished, or do you think it still needs some tweaks to get it to perfection?
Definitely needs some tweaks, especially only using it over the past few weeks or so. But yeah, I wouldn't say it's quite finished. I wouldn't say it's anywhere near finished, in all honesty. But it has the basics there, which is definitely what it needed in the first instance to get users onto it and having a decent experience. But yeah, it's definitely not finished. When you compare it to the likes of like Twitter and other platforms, it's missing out on a lot of functionality, a lot of different tools which other apps do offer. But again, I think it's riding the hype at the moment, and that's kind of what it's thriving off. So yeah,
didn't it have the biggest download rate ever? Like, even against TikTok and Facebook when it first started, like, it reached, like, 50, not billion,
I think
million.
It's either in the first day or the first week. I want to say the first day you got 100 million downloads, which is incredible on the grand scheme of things compared to other platforms, which I remember looking into it, but I can't remember off the top of my head, but it took other platforms sometimes years to even get to 100 million, million users, again, which is crazy to think of on the grand scheme of things, that they could do that in a day or a week, and other platforms have taken a year. It's a big differential.
Yeah, with you, so because you've had a play with it, and how you've just said about right place, right time, I think obviously we're not in the inner workings of Meta or Zuckerberg's brain, but from your perspective, if it's not finished, like it's not a fully fledged functional sort of platform, why, just from your guess, why would you think it was launched while it was still not quite there?
Wasn't the best take, I don't think. They probably should have definitely developed more into it, but I think, again, it's just to feed off that loss which Twitter has had. Just a huge amount of users, again, probably still looking for something similar but not being able to get it on Twitter because of certain things and moderation and just dodgy things going on Twitter. So I think they launched it even in its basic state because they probably knew that people were going to turn up to it and have a go anyway. And just like building that, I guess, initial hype will still keep people there or keep people coming back in the future. So yeah, I think if they launched it with any less tools, then it would have been a big problem and they would have got a lot of hate for it. But I think the fact it's still functioning and it's still like a good experience on the app and it almost does kind of what you need it to in its basic form, I think they had the capabilities of releasing it without too many backlashes, and I guess it's kind of paid off in the first instance.
Sort of working just enough to get into the space and, like you say, capitalize.
Exactly. It almost like not giving Elon time to make amends to Twitter and like jumping into his swimming pool or something, if you want to say it like that. But yeah, right place, right time, feeding off the Twitter loss and getting into the space.
And I suppose we've obviously mentioned it now quite a bit, but let's see if we can get into the nitty-gritty. Mm-hmm. So what has it been with Twitter that has caused users just, I'm gonna go for it, fly the nest. here all week, people.
Love that, Steph. I don't know if we could use that anymore, though, if they're coming away from the bird and things to X, but I guess that's another point we could talk on later, but yeah, I think there's quite a few things. I think the first few big standout things are possibly Twitter Blue, I believe it's called. There's a lot of like controversial accounts coming back online. I think there was like a mass unbanning of accounts, which I don't know why that even ever happened, because if they got banned in the first place, they probably shouldn't be back on the platform. And then rate limitations or restrictions have been put into place. Elon mentioned it being like a technical problem, and they're looking into like limiting the amount people can post and what they can post to be able to then like troubleshoot some things. But on the grand scheme of things, I think it's just a way of getting people to use the Twitter blue tick and paying for a subscription into that and then getting extra benefits. So yeah, a bit of a hot take, I suppose. But yeah, so things like Twitter blue, probably the main reason people aren't getting the same tools as everybody else if they are using Twitter blue. You can pretty much just pay for exclusivity into things like to better your account pretty much, which other people might not have. Almost like taking away people's freedom in an essence. So I think that's probably the main thing. Desensitization of posts and things. I know, again, another hot take, but almost like filtering's gone out the window. People can pretty much post what they want, and that's not always what people want to see. They kind of want like a friendly app, whereas yeah, it's not always that at the moment. So I think those is like a top three like biggest things which have kind of knocked people off using Twitter. Because like to go from a blue tick to a non-blue tick with 1,000 characters, and yeah, it's just wild to me, all the changes which has gone through. So I think people just aren't used to the changes. They don't like the changes. That's kind of why people have just fled the nest.
Yeah, it's not been changed for the better, has it? Just as, because I, like I say, I have got Twitter and I've had it for a long time and I dip in and out, mm-hmm. but with some of these changes, it's not quite the ones that you've mentioned that I think would make people leave. But I had a shock where I was just going through my feed and now it started to bring in just people that you don't follow, but you think you would want to. And one was my ex, and I honestly muted my phone because I panicked and thought, have I drunk followed you?
Oh, no.
And I was like, no, I haven't. They've just done this to scare a 34-year-old woman. So,
my God. You know, I personally deleted Twitter because of all the controversial things that they'd done internally, like with the team. Because like when Elon came on, he made like 75% of the workload redundant and like said, you can't work from home anymore. You've got to work in the office full time. All just like horrible stuff that like post COVID and like post lockdown doesn't make sense. And I just thought, you know what, if he's going to instill all of these like values into its workers, I can't be bothered to see what he's going to do next. Also, I've got a really rogue theory about Elon Musk. Do you want to hear it? Yeah. I don't know if this is a place to discuss it, but I have a theory that over the next like 10 years, he's just going to buy like all social media platforms and run them into the ground so that we don't use them anymore. Because like sometimes social media is so toxic. So I reckon he's just going to kill them all. Yeah. Like the platforms, not people.
I mean, and then, because we've got nothing to do with our time, we all just get onto his space race adventure.
Exactly.
That's what he's going to do.
Exactly. This is my theory. Like, he's just such a clever man. He's just thinking of the bigger picture, which, in a way, like, I love TikTok a lot, so I hope he doesn't buy that. But I'm all right with him buying Facebook and Snapchat and Instagram and all stuff like this. But TikTok is sacred, so stay off, Elon. You've heard it here first.
We say, though, obviously he is a clever man, but in the grand scheme of just sort of this introduction to Threads, I think Meta's had the upper hand there, because even though it's not the finished product, they have pretty much just timed it to perfection, haven't they, and capitalising on that gap. So that, I think, is a bit of a masterstroke. I think it's an interest. It's a game of chess between two
definitely
terrifying social giants.
Very rich people. Jesus Christ.
I think Elon's just turning into a bit of a tyrant, isn't he, in terms of what he wants to do with the space. But I wasn't sure what direction you're going to take that in, Liv, in all honesty. I thought you were going to say he's going to like turn into an alien or something.
He's a lizard.
He's going to morph into a lizard.
No, we'll save that for the UFO podcast that we're doing next week.
I love that. Glad to be on that one. Special guest as well. Love that.
Yeah. Have you heard about that man saying that UFOs are real, like, under oath?
No.
No.
Oh, my God.
Wait. Maybe.
I don't know his name. He's like a professor, yeah. But I think he works at like, is it Area 51?
Yeah, it's in like the US.
Yeah.
Because I read something this morning, it was just a headline about somebody in the US speaking out about like leaking stuff about UFOs and
yeah.
having like sightings of like alien biology and things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think they found debris from something and he was like, yeah, we found remains, but they weren't human. They were extraterrestrial. And he said that under oath. So, UFO podcast really coming it. Soon.
Why anyway. Are UFOs circular though?
What?
So everybody always thinks UFOs are circular, and every time you see it in like pictures and things, like why do we just presume UFOs are circular?
Oh, like the alien
Yeah, like
head.
The spaceships, yeah. No. Like the ships.
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway, we're tangenting.
Here we are. threads. back to it. What features do you reckon it's missing? Put your user experience head on.
A lot, in all honesty. again, I guess a lot of this podcast is going to be comparing to Twitter and the like. So if you do compare it to Twitter, they don't really use hashtags in the same way Twitter do. So being able to like connect hashtags to other like-minded people who are also using them, they don't have anything like that in terms of functionality. You can't DM or talk to your friends on it. I know it's kind of like a bolt-on to Instagram at the moment, so maybe you do just go back to Instagram and Facebook to be able to message your friends. But some people do just want a quick direct message, I suppose, off like one of your posts, being able to just send them their post back and then comment on it in a direct message. But no, there's nothing like that at all. There's no explore page, which again is a huge thing for Twitter. If you're going for like news articles and things like that, or just keeping up with news, the explore page is always great for that and just being able to branch out and look into different things. So yeah, it's missing that part. There's no chronological following feed. So in terms of whenever a post was made, it doesn't show you like the most recent post. It just shows you any odd post over the past like day or so. Yeah, so that's like really, really weird. But again, something which should be coming soon. There's no monetization, so it's all purely organic. Probably something we'll speak a little bit about further on. But I think Adam Mosseri, I think, is the guy who owns Instagram or looks after like the head of Instagram and things. But he said they're going to wait until 1 billion users, I think, on Threads until they look at monetizing it. So quite a while off, in all honesty. I know, obviously, activity and things has dipped a bit, so it might actually take a while until we come to monetization. But yeah, that's currently not in there. So it's purely all organic content at the moment, which is actually quite nice, in all honesty, when you go down the app. It's not getting splattered with sponsored ads and things like that. It's just nice to obviously get hit with organic things and people's actual posts. It makes a nice refreshing change. But again, it's a while off monetization, so hopefully we get to keep that for a while.
I love that. Yeah. Sorry, because obviously being an organic content SEO person, hearing that come from paid, yeah. I feel like I've just won a war that I didn't know was happening.
No, exactly. Like organic is the nice side of digital marketing. Should we say the paid side's a bit more pushy in ways, but paid has its fun elements in terms of creativity and stuff as well. So it is a fun place to work in. But no, I can understand that. And paid does take up a lot of space. And it's not always stuff you want to see. So, yeah. Yeah. Carrying on. The search functionality is missing or almost like not up to scratch compared to the likes of Twitter and things. It's just missing some vital things in terms of just like the search bar and actually using the functionality. There's no communities. So Twitter have communities and like groups of people you can almost join and converse with. But Threads doesn't have anything like that. It's all app only, so you can't go on the desktop and use it. It's probably something they'll look into developing quite swiftly, I would have thought, so I reckon they're missing out quite a bit of a user base there. Post translations, filters, notifications, the list just goes on and on, in all honesty. But there was a post very recently over the past, I think, 2 days, I think it was on Tuesday, where Adam mentioned about a lot of recent changes they're looking into and they are working on. So I think a lot of what I just spoke about on this list will be ticked off over the next months.
Okay.
I'll say months or so. I think it will move quite quick. I think because of how basic it is, I think it will be quite easy just to implement new things into it. But yeah, I think there are new things to come. I think people should wait around and not just jump ship. I think it will be quite a good app going down the line with some of these things implemented?
Two things. I think you first naming Adder is actually the funniest thing I've ever heard.
I don't know.
My mate Adder.
Yeah, you know.
But also, Adam Hoyred, mate. Look at all these things he's spotted. incredible.
Yeah.
Even though, by the sounds of it, this app's quite shoddy at the minute, do you think it is just the hype and Twitter for, like, going down that means it's got 100 million followers so quickly? Do you think it's all just literally just word of mouth, spreading it around and stuff?
I think it's a bit of everything. Definitely things you just mentioned, but I think it was super easy to link your account in the first instance.
Yeah.
So when you wanted to first start, it was just go onto your Instagram account, press a few buttons, and you've almost got a Thread account set up. So I think that the app was just readily accessible. Obviously, there are things to do with Twitter which probably spurred people on to be able to use it and want to use it, but in terms of getting people actually onto the app, I don't think that was possibly the main thing in terms of like accessibility and actually functioning and getting the app downloaded and stuff. So yeah, I think the first instance was it was just super available. Meta obviously has a huge budget there and they're a huge company, so they can sink time and money into these types of things, so I think that obviously helps them down the line. They can push out a product really quick. Like it wouldn't take them much time to turn something around, so if they did see the gap, then making something basic like they have and just getting it out there, it was a quick and easy move for them. But yeah, they already had like the organic setting, should we say, so the 1 billion users on Instagram and even more on Facebook and things. So if they had like that loyal user base who was willing to, I don't know, see Threads and be like, oh yeah, I'll download that, then I guess they already had that huge base there to start off with. So yeah, I think obviously 100 million users is huge, but it's not obscene to think they've got that many users that quickly because of what they've already got built up in terms of Instagram and Facebook and things, really.
Yeah, they're not starting from ground zero as a completely new entity, are they? But so hopefully Adam listens to this with that comprehensive list of easel stuff you're missing, mate. But for anyone who hasn't got it yet and they're just hearing like it's like Twitter but not, what would you say the similarities are? What are the things it has got? What is it that sort of makes it like Twitter?
So, again, Threads is very basic at the moment, but the basics which it has is very similar to Twitter in terms of just like UI design, the way they got the pages set out and things. Like the overall feed for Threads is practically identical to Twitter. So if you were to have a picture of Twitter feed right next to a Threads feed, I don't know if I'd be able to tell the difference in terms of like a post. So if I like saw a post with like a picture and a bit of text on it, and then another one from Threads with a picture and a bit of text on it, they like the functionality of how it works just looks identical to me. So like on Twitter, if you click into a post, you'll then get a line on the left-hand side, which will then like encompass all the messages and stuff linked to that message. Threads does exactly the same thing. So if you go into Threads, you click on someone's post, and then it'll bring up everyone's comments, and it's strange how they have that line on the side. It's like a bar, like a scrolling bar, or kind of looks like that, but it's not quite a scrolling bar. But yeah, I don't know what the thing is on the keyboard, but like the squiggly line which like encompasses everything, it's kind of similar to that. But Twitter and obviously Threads have their own take on it as just like a line. But yeah, like that's one of the things which kind of stood out to me. But again, like the layout and the structure, so the UI is all the same. You can retweet. I don't know if it's called retweeting.
What's it called?
Yeah.
So it's like quoting, I believe it's called. But it's like retweeting and quoting, exactly the same thing. You can share posts, like posts, link people into the comments and things. So yeah, the functionality and stuff's practically the same, in all honesty. As I said, I don't think I'd tell side by side which was which if you just showed me a post from each. On Twitter, well, and on Threads now, you have at the top, you have for you and then following. So you can filter between just the following and then for you people. They're exactly the same. You go to the top of the page, it's for you tab, and there's a following tab, look exactly the same. So yeah, I think there are a lot of identical things going on there, which I guess is to be expected because they're practically the same app. And I guess Threads are just taking learnings from Twitter and best practices and kind of throwing it into their app. So, yeah, I can see why they're doing it, to be fair.
Mm-hmm. With Twitter, what I think a lot of people use it for, and like I used it for, especially in like COVID, was like breaking news and like political events, real-time information, because especially in COVID, it did have like COVID warnings of like, this is COVID related, this is like from the news, whatever. Mm-hmm. Has that changed or been removed or become like, as have the lines faded since Elon's come onto it and brought it out, do you think?
Yes, for sure. I wouldn't go as far as it's been removed, but it's definitely changed in the aspect of what people take away from it. So if we look at the arrival of like the blue tick or the Twitter blue mentality people have, or like the subscription mentality, so people can pretty much go onto like a news post or whatever, make a comment which is completely irrelevant, a bit dodgy perhaps, completely controversial take, but because they've got a blue tick or seen as like a verified user or like a subscriber with a bit more power or so on the app, then people almost take it for gospel, and they think it's just like, oh yeah, blue tick person said it, must mean it's right because they're verified and yada yada yada. So I think there's a lot of misinformation going around on the app. Again, all linked to blue tick people mainly. But yeah, I think that's kind of like the take on news and things at the moment.
Yeah. To be fair, when when Elon first introduced that blue tick thing, I don't know if anyone else saw it, there were so many people creating fake accounts and then subscribing. Mm-hmm. And it would be like, I saw loads of football ones, like João Moutinho commenting like, "You're rubbish" and stuff on like footballers' tweets. Or, yeah. But like, if you do it with a political face, like let's say you did it with, I don't know, Trump, it's so easy to get like the MAGAs going in it, and then just they'll just be going absolutely mental and not believing anything. Like it's actually so dangerous when you think about it.
Mm. There was something I read the other day where obviously people can change their name on Twitter to almost whatever they want it to be. I think you can change your at whatever username to almost whatever you want it to be as well, in an essence. But obviously people were getting their name very close to high-end people, should say, like Donald Trump or whatever, and then just buying themselves a blue tick and then almost getting passed off as Donald Trump themselves.
Yeah.
And like so many people can easily mistake that for the actual Donald Trump, and then obviously even more misinformation gets spread through that, like, oh my god, Donald Trump said this on this post, and it's just like, yeah, blown up. So
yeah, definitely,
it's definitely things which can happen.
Scary stuff.
Yeah, this is it, where that verification, it was there because you did need that to have that authenticity and that trust to know that 100%. Actually what you're seeing is the legit thing to see. So removing it and making it subscription just opens you up to, well, it's just perpetuating the idea of that fake news and all the things that are happening outside of Twitter, like things like AI and deep fakes. It just makes for a world that at some point we're not going to know what's real and what isn't.
No, it's not nice to think about. And unfortunately, it's just a way of making money. Like, that's all it was at the end of the day. Like, there's no benefit for his people really on Twitter outside of being able to post a bit more. Having a bit more character limits and things like that. But at the end of the day, I guess his goal was just to make a bit more money off getting people to subscribe and having more power on the app, which, again, is probably why people have left, because they didn't like that mentality. They liked how Twitter was. And now he's just changed it and butchering it a little bit. So,
yeah, definitely. Do you think Threads is going to go a similar way with, like, news and politics and stuff, or do you think it'll stay away from it?
So my mate Adam... got the lowdown with him already. Yeah. Went out for coffee the other day. He gave me the lowdown on all the Threads news. No, joking. But obviously joking. Don't know why I need to even say I'm joking.
Just in case, guys.
Caveat, Eddie's not mates with Adam.
No, I don't know Adam.
I don't know Adam from Adam.
But no, he's already mentioned, I think, in posts and things, they want to stay away from news and politics. I suppose it's these types of conversations that can bring like negativity and things to the platform. So perhaps he doesn't want the app to be used in that type of way. So as I said, like news and things can bring negativity, a bit of controversy. So I guess on the grand scheme of things, he's probably thinking he just wants to stay away from that. He's probably seen some backlash from Twitter and things, and maybe he just doesn't want to go in the same direction. But on the flip side, this almost makes it like a big selling point for Twitter again.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think of, oh, Threads doesn't want to go into that like news and politics angle, which Twitter is very known for, then I guess users are primarily going to stay on Twitter just for that like news and politics update. So yeah, I think kind of work in both ways. But yeah, my mate Adam, I think he's probably going to stick to without the news and without the politics.
I think Adam's got the right idea there. Big up, Adam. Love that one.
God, I love it. I think, yeah, it all feels very much like social media chess, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because they've swooped in to capitalise on people leaving Twitter, but then, Ed, you've literally just come up with almost a business plan to get them back in the game. They're not going to capitalise on you, so off you go, Twitter. Go back to what you were in 2009.
Yeah, I spoke to my mate Elon the other day, to be fair.
Yeah, gave him some ideas. He's got them all on speed dial, this lad.
Making moves.
To be fair, it does make sense though, because you keep the crises on Twitter and you have like the people who just want to have fun and have a laugh on Threads.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. This is it. So, obviously, we spoke about the fact that, and again, Ed, master stroke of understanding that it's, you haven't started from ground zero, mm-hmm. so getting 100 million users, not that impressive because you've just piggybacked. But obviously, like Liz, you said earlier that sort of attention spans dip. So they've downloaded that, they've had a play and then gone, meh, not for me. Do you think it's that, or do you think it was the idea, Ed, that it's not quite the finished product that's made people sort of download and then sort of immediately leave, is the only probably way to say it?
Yeah, so I think in terms of the unfinished product part, I think it definitely does play its part in terms of why people have left. Users want to be able to stay, obviously, engaged onto an app. And if the functionality and the tools on the app are basic, then yeah, there's not going to be obviously a lot to do. I guess in that essence, it almost relies on the people you're following to continue to make updates. And if people aren't posting as much or using it as much, then obviously the activity goes down. And then in turn, I suppose you stop using it. But yeah, I think because it is basic, it's less engaging. And yeah, obviously less people are going to stick around. But I also think that like, because of it's like new hype and things, obviously I'm a gamer myself, and this type of thing always always happens whenever I play a new game on release, whatever. It's always super hyped up, loads of people, like millions of people playing it, but then there might be an essence of, oh, it's missing a piece of content, people moan about it, you start to understand it in terms of, oh yeah, they actually is missing that bit of content, why is it missing that piece of content, it should have been implemented in the first place, I'm no longer going to play the game or play, obviously use the app in this essence. So yeah, I think it has played a big part in all honesty for the dip. But I think, as I said, that they've got a lot on the pipeline. I think there's a lot to be changed in the app, and I think there are good things to come. So I think even though there has been a lot of hype and there have been a lot of users drop off after the hype, but I think they will come back once new things start to be implemented.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because like from that 100 million, I think it's something like 70%, which is obviously a big chunk. It's not even just like those going, oh, this is new. It's 70% is a lot that have gone. Do you really foresee, once you've shared your list with Adam of what's missing, they've fixed it, they've added to it, do you really think they will come back, or do you think we're still a sort of race that first impressions count? Do you think they're going to give it a second chance, or do you think it's going to have to almost be like a bit of a relaunch? How do you think it'll sort of come about getting those 70% back?
I don't, like, on the grand scheme of things, I don't think there's any harm in the way they've gone about releasing Threads and things. I don't think it's necessarily has like problems, it's just missing features. So in terms of getting users back, I think just adding a few more features will get users back. I think it's an app to stay for sure. I don't think it's just going to die a death over the next month or so. But no, I think it definitely will improve. New things will be added. And I think, yeah, from there, people will start to come back. Like, it has the basics, but that's all they needed to spring the hype, as I mentioned. But From there, they'll be able to continue to develop the app, as all apps do. Like, Twitter was very basic whenever it first started off, but over the years it's been live. It's obviously continued to develop, and new people have come to it, given it ideas. So, yeah, it's never going to become the biggest social media app overnight. Obviously, with the likes of, like, Facebook. Obviously, I know Fred's partnership, Facebook, whatever, but to get to Facebook's 2.5 billion users or whatever it is at the moment, or even more, it's obviously going to be a huge feat. But to get to Twitter, I'm not sure off the top of my head how many users Twitter has, but I think it can stay a good competitor as long as it just keeps developing things. And I think those users will come back in time. Like, I know myself, I still check it on the daily. I know it's still basic, but I like to try and keep up with what my friends and things are doing. So, yeah, I still use it. And I think people will come back to use it once it's developed a bit more.
Bringing us to sort of, it's not an agency point of view, but it's what we do. Do you think that Threads will have an impact? Do you think it will have an impact? Do you think it will have an impact on marketing and the different specialisms involved in it?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, PR, I can't think of anything else. Content, like everything.
Thank you.
Everything.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Also, and speak from a social point of view, I might need Steph's input if it comes into PR, content, and things like that. But I think from a social specialism, obviously it's a social platform, so I think down the line it will have a big impact. In the paid space, obviously monetization, as I mentioned, isn't going to come around for a while unless they kind of just, like, scrap that idea and just throw money at it anyway, because I don't know, that's a way of them making money. So it might end up happening. They might not reach that 1 billion users mark and just end up throwing monetization at it. So I think that could come about. From an organic point of view, I think social, like an organic social point of view, I think it could be a really impactful piece or tool. Especially for people with, like, larger followings or, like, larger companies, I think they could really bounce off the fact it's a new app and a lot of people are using it. Because all of their activity base is duplicated, should we say. So all of their followers, everybody who interacts with their posts and things gets duplicated over to Threads. So if they've got 1 million followers on Instagram, they'll have 1 million followers on Threads. So that organic base is already built up. So what they got to do is start posting. I think that, in, like, an essence, is kind of like how it's going to affect paid and organic social. But yeah, what do you think, Steph, from, like, a content point of view or PR point of view?
Yeah, I think very much with organic, it is its naturalist form, hence it being organic. So yeah, it's the angel on the shoulder of marketing in a way, but it's about that community side of things. So it is the more truer voice, because you're not really meant to use organic in the way, from a social point of view anyway, to sell. It's very much a case of putting an arm around your people and being like, be a part of our gang. And I think with content and PR, how we use Twitter has always been a way where it's been, that's the place where you can go and, like, journal requests, because with that, obviously, breaking news element, you could be straight away reactive to things because you've got this portal that's telling you what's happening right there and then. So it could be something that we could really utilise. The same with if they stay away from the news and it becomes more of that lifestyle and the happy place. It's another area to capitalise on certain trends. Content, obviously, can span across every kind of platform, organic or paid. So I think from a brand perspective, that understanding how to use organic and connect with communities, that's where content will really come into play. So, yeah, in the sense that I wouldn't want another social media platform, from a marketing side, it could be the niche we want to tap into that can really be that awareness community, connecting with consumers in it, and in a more sort of pure way, I guess.
Yeah, I really hope it just stays in, as you said, that pure way, and people stay friendly on it. Again, I think monetization does kind of, like, flip that on its head and makes it a bit more of a serious platform, which isn't always what people want. But no, I completely agree with trying to keep it pure and friendly and how that can benefit everybody. So, for sure. What do you think, Liv? You got any? Sorry. Go on.
No. I think it's a massive, massive, massive opportunities for businesses to reframe themselves. Because, like, if you think of people on and big businesses in particular on Twitter, their main like form of like not hate but like feedback is on Twitter, because I don't know about you, if I ever have like my plans delayed with Ryan Air, I'll get straight on Twitter and be like, "Oi, Ryan, what's going on? Like, sort it out."
And I'm the same with the trains.
You automatically do, because it's where you're going to get seen quickly, because they want to keep their brand image as like, you know, as positive as possible. Mm-hmm. But if I don't know how they do it, but if brands could keep the negative stuff and like the feedback on Twitter, but then have just like this fresh view of, hey, we're blah de blah, and this is who we are as a brand, and this is, you know, these are our USPs and everything. Like, even without saying that, just having like a brand's opinion of like sustainability or something, it just, I don't know, I just feel like it'd be so good for them to have that separation of like, this is who we are, but like, this is what we have to deal with day to day. And you can just see them as, you know, people working within a business. I'm just literally waffling now, but.
No, that was brilliant, because it is what we always want to try and do as marketers is to connect to people where they are in the right way at the right time. So if you're right, if we've now got this, say, like portfolio of social platforms, Twitter's where you go and get your customer service and you whinge and they want to, you know, get to you quickly. Then you've got another platform here where it is about basically having a platform for every segment of audience that you want to connect with. And that's how you then tailor the content for the right place, rather than trying to either blanket approach it or get it wrong.
Yeah.
So no, that wasn't waffle at all.
Thanks. You have just found it in, I was trying to think, it's not literate. What's when someone's really good at speaking and using words?
Eloquent, that's not a word to describe me.
Yeah, it is. That was very, very eloquent.
You are good with words, Steph.
Maybe written words, yeah, speaking.
You are.
Come on, I'm from Stoke.
Accent doesn't count.
Thank you.
From a paid social element, Ed, obviously we're in it and we're professionals, but do you think, personally, it will be less or more relevant than what Meta and Instagram offers already, like stories, for example? Do you think it'll be better than that? Where do you think it'll sit?
In the next 12 months, I can't see anything majorly changing in terms of like fighting against competitors. Well, not that Meta's a competitor, because I guess it obviously falls under that umbrella. But yeah, I can't see it overtaking Instagram or like Meta in terms of like placements or anything like that. I think just because of what's already ingrained and built into Instagram and Meta and how far it is developed, I think there's just so much more capabilities for us in that type of aspect. So yeah, I can't see it overtaking those two. Again, they might not reach that threshold of 1 billion users to be able to even start monetization for us. So I guess we might not have to worry about paid on Threads for a while. It may not even be over this next 12 months. So again, that might completely change. But yeah, I think in the future it could become like a really strong placement or like platform. I don't know if it'd count as a placement or a platform in this essence. I guess they'll probably have Meta, Instagram and Threads instead of it being a placement. So I guess within Threads it'll have its own placement. But yeah, I think it's one for the future for advertisers to be able to like expand into and just have like a new user base, I suppose. But yeah, the other two are already so big. It's going to be very difficult to kind of like knock them off the primary advertising pedestal, shall we say. But again, things like Twitter, I think it can have a good standpoint, but again, it needs to get moving if it actually wants to start to take over some of the paid space. But I can't see that happening within the next 12 months, personally.
Mm, makes sense. I mean, we do see some of these things come and go, and then there's the main players that do stick around, and you do have to keep evolving to keep up with it, because the social media landscape, it has changed. And like you said earlier, you know, the platforms that started way back when have evolved over time, and that adaptability. But in the same way that Liv mentioned, your other half obviously dipping in and out of platforms. And people, we've seen it a lot recently, actually, with that whole negative culture, like the toxic side, people, like even celebrities taking breaks from social media. Do you see it being a case of, with that negativity, there's been privacy issues, that almost becoming a place where there's either, you know, a lot of hate or it's not a meaningful connection? What what's your view on it in terms of how it's changed to become this that entity that we sometimes are in, sometimes we're not?
No, I think people's views make sense to me, in all honesty. I think there are a lot of negative things out there on social media, across all platforms, not just things like Twitter at the moment, but I've seen things in my time on like Facebook and Instagram, which obviously spurs negativity. And yeah, it's not obviously nice to read. So I can understand why people do take breaks and come off it and go back on it, I guess, like what I do, but in a different way. I don't think we'll ever be able to escape that. I don't think like any type of moderation or filtering or I guess privacy rules and things like that are ever not going to be able to be bent in a way for negative people to be able to attack people, if that makes sense. So yeah, I think there's always going to be that essence. I think social media in itself is coming away from like being a way of connecting with friends and family and things like that and staying connected with people, and more just like mindlessly browsing or like scrolling random people's lives. And I guess that in itself then spurs negativity, because you might see someone who you might want to be, or you might see someone with a controversial opinion, which then you take on board, and then that, I guess, spurs more negativity. But I think everyone has their own take on social media on the grand scheme of things. Some people love it, some people hate it, some people love to be negative on it, some people love just to keep up to date with their friends and their family on it. But yeah, I think on the grand scheme of things, it is kind of coming away from that type of thing. And yeah, negativity and privacy and politics, things like that, is kind of taking over quite a big chunk of it. But that's maybe why Threads is a good thing, especially in its infancy, because it doesn't have the option to be like that, I suppose.
Yeah.
I suppose it could still spread some type of negativity in terms of people commenting on posts and what they post, but obviously coming away from like the news things and the politics things, and I guess it just being so fresh and happy at the moment is just like a lovely thing to see, I suppose, in Threads. So I like it how it is. But yeah, I think, yeah, there are a lot of negative things going around, and I can see why people drop off in social media for sure.
Yeah, and I think as we've seen over time, it's almost now the platforms are almost fragmenting. So, you know, there is the Twitter and Threads, but others like Blue Sky and Mastodon, YouTube's got Rumble, yeah. Like Twitch, Kick. Why do you think that's happening?
It's a tough question, in all honesty. Don't worry. It is a hard question. I think the amount of people using the internet is obviously always just the general answer. But I think social media itself and just platforms like that are just forever growing, and the amount of people using them is just forever growing. So it just allows more companies to almost fill up the space or have a go at doing it. I think there was one, I said I'm a big gamer, so I know about like Twitch and Kick and things like that. But there's one in the past called Mixer, I believe it was, which was like another game streaming website, whatever you want to call it. But that kind of dropped off. So I'm surprised to see Kick doing so well, even though it's practically a direct competitor to Twitch. So yeah, it's difficult to say, but I think there's just extra space, there's more people there, there's more money in it, and companies just see an opportunity to like expand themselves and like go into these spaces. So yeah, I think that's kind of like the general gist of it. But no, it's a tough one. I've seen it with Mixer, and obviously companies and things drop off that way when trying to battle against other titans such as like Twitch and YouTube and things like that. So it always surprises me when a new company or platform does arise, because I feel like we're so like ingrained into what we already know in terms of like the platforms and things, that it's always a surprise when obviously other platforms do come up.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it? Because rather than, I think, I don't know whether we've reached a point where we can't be inventive anymore, yeah. So we just replicate. But I think it's trying to appeal to just different types of people, isn't it? Like you've got Apple and Android.
Yeah, of course. But yeah.
You're going to fall into one of those camps. And then way back in the day before the internet, it was EastEnders or Coronation Street. It's always trying to have a rivalry that caters to almost, yeah, just two sides of the fence.
I think at the moment, for things like Twitch and like Kick, things like that, or even Threads, you probably need a big amount of sponsorship to be able to even get something like that started. So for Twitch, for example, there's already large streamers on there, but Kick would almost give like a sponsorship to these large streamers to be able to get them onto their platform and get things moving. So you obviously always need a bit of a pool of money to be able to get things started that way. But yeah, so I think that's obviously plays its part. beer.
Ed, from a business point of view, just bringing it back, let's say we've just won a new client at Clickthrow. They come to us and they say, look, we've got £1 million to spend all year. Wow. We want to go with what's going to work best for our business. Let's just say it's the most miscellaneous business offering that you can think of.
Okay.
Where would you direct them in the current platforms climate? So, like, with what's going on in Twitter, what's happening with Meta, TikTok as well. Like, there's always beef going on there somewhere. But where would you point them, in which direction?
Okay, so if we're looking at, like, a niche company, then I guess there's a few different angles you could probably take. I think if we're talking on, like, the grand scheme of things, a lot of companies are starting to, like, steer away from Twitter. And I think we would possibly advise to do the same at the moment, just because of, like, controversies around it. And kind of like what's going on within the Twitter space. And there's a lot of change. We don't really know what's going to happen in the near future. So obviously sinking money and time into that platform might not be the correct angle to take. Obviously, given all the negativity and things, I don't think it's probably the best space to be advertising in at the moment. So Twitter's almost like a no-go. But this makes platforms like Meta, Instagram, Snapchat, and the like a lot more relevant, because that kind of, like, niches down their options, should we say. So companies will start to look for new avenues of advertising within these spaces, I guess, if they're not doing so already. I see Meta also has, like, the largest audience pool, obviously speaking about billions of users. And personally, it's the easiest platform to use, so I'd always recommend starting on something like Meta, just to get your activity moving, getting your audiences built up and things like that. And just, I guess, the main thing is to build that brand awareness from social. That's almost like the social's main king standpoint. So, yeah, Meta's like the best thing to start with, I would always say. Instagram also goes hand in hand with it because of them being like a partnership. So if you're advertising on Facebook, you're practically advertising on Instagram because the placement's, like, interlinked. So that's always, it's a great one to start with. LinkedIn is it's like an expensive place to start. We wouldn't always advise to start with LinkedIn unless you're a very, like, niche professional services type of client. So yeah, we try and steer away from that just because of how expensive it is. Audiences, things like that are different, and just, like, overall user population, should we say, on LinkedIn is obviously less compared to Meta. And it's just, it's more difficult to use in terms of, like, an advertiser's standpoint as well. So just, like, the functionality of the UI and just getting campaigns and setups a bit more challenging compared to the likes of, like, Meta. So yeah, I think obviously steer away a little bit from Twitter for sure. LinkedIn has its niche users. Meta and Instagram, obviously, probably king to start with. Things like TikTok are also fantastic, but again, it's very, very dependent on almost client side. Like, we need the client and the company to be able to make the content for then us to be able to, guess, put paid adverts out there. But it's super good for things like influencer content. That's probably, like, its main use. Obviously, it does have other uses, but yeah, it's a hard one, TikTok, because I love it as an app. I'd love to use it more as a paid side, but it requires so much input from, like, the client and organically to be able to get things moving on it that it does make it difficult. But yeah, that's kind of my take on terms of, like, best practices and where to start.
Yeah, I love that. That's like a one-on-one for everyone listening. So if you need social support, call us.
Or Adam.
And then you can call Adam as well. But we've been talking about Twitter. It doesn't actually technically exist anymore. This is a bugbear of mine massively when it comes to branding. A big advocate of your brand. Changing a name and a logo does not a rebrandeth make, I feel. And with Twitter, the reason I think we probably always will call it that is because it's a whole ecosystem. So a single post is a tweet. Mm-hmm. Sharing something was retweet. They created a whole syntax that went with it. So now just to try and call it X, the rest of those other elements, I don't know what we're going to say. Like, do you XXX something? Because then we're in a whole different territory.
Wow.
I'm not going to be invited back for this, am I? But with that rebrand, I know Big Elon said that basically he wants an everything app, a super app, mm-hmm. If you will, sort of like the whole WeChat in China. What do we think of that?
So I have a bit of a hot take, in all honesty. If we rewind back to the X branding, my hot take's a bit more on that. But I've read this. I don't know how true it is, but Microsoft owned the rights to X because of things like Xbox or like Xbox Series X and things like that. So I don't know if there's going to be complications there for Elon just randomly changing the logo to an X. Which could
he's buying
be
Microsoft.
Thing.
It's starting. He's buying it.
Live for the future. I don't know. Again, I don't know how that's going to go down. Apparently, he tried to replace the bird in the headquarters with an X, so the X logo. But the police pulled him up on it and said obviously he didn't have like the right type of paperwork to be able to start doing that type of thing. So he had to swiftly put the bird back on there.
he's flipped the bird.
Crap joke. Love it. And there's another hot take where apparently you can just get that X font format on like any normal like Word document. So I don't know if it's just like
a lot of thought went into it.
Yeah, like zero thought went into him trying to find the actual brand logo and just slapped an X into Word and changed some fonts and thought what looked cool. So yeah, obviously a bit of a hot take. Might link back to that blue tick mentality of people just spreading random misinformation, and none of this might be true, but yeah, it's kind of funny to think about. But to me personally, Elon isn't a social media expert. He's always been, I don't know what you want to call it, rocket scientist. But so it's going to take a lot of time for him to be able to get up to date with the space and know exactly what's going on. Obviously he's making a lot of changes to try and make a dream app, but I think he's obviously missing quite a bit of context there, and he might have professionals and things around him and the best in the business, but obviously trying to get big CEO Elon Tyrant to actually do what you want him to do might be something different. And if he has his mindset on something, then he's gonna do it. So a dream app is a bit ambitious, but I think there's always a possibility. But I think he's thinking too big picture at the moment and not trying to sort out the issues which are already like arising within his own app. Mm-hmm. Instead of developing new things to try and make it like a dominant app, he needs to try and fix what's the problem.
Yeah,
going wrong and losing him users.
Elon
already
is actually the epitome of a bull in a china shop. Like, as soon, like, I would hate to be in a room with that man and then you say you want to do something because I reckon he'd be the most stubborn person ever. Ugh.
He's just the epitome of squirrel and people dug from up. You can imagine this happening, because the idea of like Twitter could turn into something where it's not just about, you know, the tweet.
Mm-hmm.
It's like to be able to send and receive payments, like mm-hmm. watch and listen content, book taxis through it. For everyone else, that was book taxis. Booth, thank you. Ordering food. It just feels like... would it be necessary to have just one app that does all of that? I'd feel weird.
Yeah, definitely. I think at the minute it just seems like social media is just turning into, like you said, Steph, like a chess game, but just like mm-hmm. a billionaire's playground for who can create the best product, the most relevant, like just be number one at everything. But I think what they're struggling to do, and Ed, you've just like framed it perfectly, is like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But they're mm-hmm. not fixing it in the first place. They're just like cracking on and moving their pawns around without even thinking about what the king's doing at the back. Little bit of chess analogy there, everyone. Recently learned. But yeah, what do you think? Do you think that's right? Do you think it's wrong? What do you think?
Yeah. So if we link back to Steph's point on it becoming like an everything app, to me personally, I've already got apps which do these things well. So things like Uber or Deliveroo or Just Eat, like, I think people are so ingrained into those apps already, they wouldn't want an app which does everything, because like technology and devices are already quick enough just to be able to switch between apps in the matter of seconds. So I wouldn't want to go onto X or Twitter and then think I have to book a taxi whilst also trying to book food and then replying to my mom's tweet about how my day's been or something. But yeah, to me it doesn't really make much sense. It would be nice, I guess, to have it all in one place. It'd be kind of convenient, but I don't think it's necessarily the solution, and I don't think it's something you should necessarily be like focusing on. I say it's not difficult to switch between apps. I do quite a lot of things on my phone in terms of just like ordering food, just browsing, like clothes shopping, things like that. So yeah, I've never had a problem, and I've like always understood why there are different apps. So yeah, I don't think that's ever going to change. I think there's always going to be a better app which specializes in that type of thing. So again, Uber was like mind-blowing to me in terms of like always getting rid of the taxi service and just getting an Uber, because you can get it from almost anywhere and it's at the click of your finger. But yeah, I wouldn't almost link that into Twitter and X, because yeah, it's not their specialism. It might end up being their specialism years in the future, but I don't think it is what he needs to focus on right now, in all honesty.
No. It becomes convoluted, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And like you say, there's apps that are specifically for those particular things that do it really well, because this, having something like an all-encompassing app, you've basically just been a like jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah.
So at some point there's going to be some half-arsing somewhere that'll impact user experience. And I think it just becomes risky. But from the branding side, and another risk is he has bull in a china shop come in and gone, don't like that. It's existed for 15 years and everyone knows it, but I want to call it X.
Yeah.
And it just seems like you sort of mentioned it there, Ed. The idea of he's just focused on the complete wrong thing, because we've seen competitors hard left come in and capitalise. So, yeah, I don't think X is going to catch on. It doesn't even fit when you're talking about it.
Yeah.
And I did see an interesting post on LinkedIn actually about, for you guys when you're reporting back to clients, how you would even frame, yeah, this X or yeah, X amount oh, of views.
On,
like,
on X and Y. Oh, yeah, X, that'd be horrible. Yeah. I haven't really thought about it that way. Even like, yeah, even in my description there, or my answers, like even trying to say Twitter or X just felt completely rogue. Like, I'll always want to go to say Twitter, and I think I always will go to say Twitter.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Really strange. I saw a funny video this morning actually where someone was editing the X logo, and he made it into like a line, and then he dropped it into the bin, and then the bin lid closed, and the bird came back onto the screen. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know how far that's going to go. He has to call it something other than X, but obviously everything's designed around him calling it X. So yeah, who knows. But yeah, I just feel like it's Elon in a nutshell, isn't it, in all honesty. He's a man who's in a position to be able to take risks and do what he wants. So if he wants to change Twitter to X, he's going to change Twitter to X. If he gets a huge amount of backlash from it, then I don't think he really cares, in all honesty. He seems like the type of man who like thrives off controversy at the moment. He's probably thinking like, as long as people are talking about me and like his products, then
that's all that matters.
He's going in the right direction. Like, he's probably thinking any publicity is good publicity, which in essence isn't wrong, but it's not really right. But yeah, it's a difficult one.
Definitely.
People are going to keep up to date with Twitter and things regardless. So yeah, I think, again, controversy could be good for him. I just don't know if it's necessarily the right thing for him in the long term. He might make short-term gains in people going to the platform and things like that, but yeah, it's a difficult one.
Right, wrapping up, if we had to make predictions of where social media will be in the next 5 years, what are you saying? Where are we going to be? Ed, come to you first.
It's a very personal, different take on it. And I think it's not so much where social media is going to be, but where like devices are going to be in the next 5 years. So obviously the introduction of like VR, metaverse, things like that over the past few years, that's obviously been like a big foot in the door into different types of landscapes for devices and social. So yeah, I think it's a different type of take, but I think it doesn't really matter where social goes, it's more where the devices go. I looked at something recently, it's about a year ago, into augmented reality, and there's like air pockets which you can look at buying now. So say you have your phone now, it's on the camera, or it might be a certain app, but air pockets in just natural space when you're walking around on your camera, almost like a QR code, where it would show up, say it's like on a bench or something in the middle of Birmingham, for example, but somebody is paid to occupy that airspace with their phone, or like their, not their phone, but their company, their Instagram account, whatever. So you go over there, you get your phone up, you go to the bench, almost like a QR code, as I mentioned, you tap on it, and that airspace counts as almost like advertising or their account. So you click on it and it sends you to their like Instagram account or something. So I think it could possibly go into that direction. I say it's a bit of a hot take again, and it's very different, but I've seen it in a few videos and things where it could become a possibility within augmented reality and things. But again, I think it's all device dependent. If our devices don't upgrade over the next 5 years, then it's going to be difficult to upgrade social media, because I think it's all very device dependent and what devices can bring.
Mm-hmm. Steph, what do you think?
I mean, in 5 years, I'll be nearly 40 and really won't
be able
to deal with any of this.
Be less likely
yeah.
to use
you. Yeah, I won't be able to work the device that's there. I've got a bit of a two-pronged approach on this. In reality, 5 years isn't actually that long a time, because obviously 5 years ago was 2018, and it doesn't feel like too much has gone mad, I don't think. I think we just had TikTok, I feel, and then obviously Elon's gone mad. But for me, I think it's either sort of what you're saying, Ed, like walking around and it being like Free Guy.
Mm-hmm.
If there was Ryan Reynolds, that'd be great. But the idea of we do start moving into that virtual advertising space, it could be that. But what I've always thought, and I think if COVID hadn't happened, I think we was going to reach a sort of peak with these kinds of things. So because when social media first started, the paid side of it didn't exist for quite a while. Down the line, especially when I started working marketing, paid social was not a thing. And I don't know if it gets to a point where people just reach their limit of how much they want to get sold to, and it could almost just fold in on itself. Like we've seen that people are taking breaks, there's privacy issues, there's, you know, the negativity side of whether it could just sort of fold in on itself and restarts to something completely different, goes back down that pure route, and then the cycle starts again. But that take just means sales paid social there. So I don't want to see all your fades.
Makes complete sense.
But it's just, yeah, it depends which way the scales swing, I think. Mm-hmm. We're either going to go ham or we're going to go a bit fed up.
Yeah. I reckon Elon's going to come in, buy everything, run everything into the ground, and we'll all have to start talking to each other again instead of, like, tweeting and Instagramming each other. But in all seriousness, I agree with the second pronged approach that you said, Steph, that people start to get fed up with it. And I think, well, I hope, to be fair, I don't think it'll happen, but I just hope it'll happen, that the reliance of social media will just come back a little bit. Because I think at the minute, there's so much people put into it. I mean, I'm one of these people, so I'm being really hypocritical, but just, you know, live in the moment. Don't have your phone out all the time. Don't, you know, just chill, basically, and just get on with your day without having to, like, post a picture of it on Instagram. But as I say, I do that right now, so I don't know what I'm on about. Anyway, at the end of every podcast, I always ask a random question, so I'm going to ask it you. And it's sort of Twitter-based, X-based, sort of Threads-based. It's basically a recent thread that was on Twitter about icks.
Icks.
Does everyone know what an ick is?
Yeah, I know what an ick is.
So what is your biggest ick?
It's really difficult.
Do you want me to give you mine, just to set the scene?
Go for it. Yeah, what's yours?
Mine's specifically about Ellis.
Oh, that's very mean.
When he drops change and then you have to, like, chase after it.
Why does Ellis do that?
Just because he always carries, like, just pennies in his pockets. And then, like, you know, with a penny, I'm not rich, but, like, if a penny, I'll be like, oh, God, I'll leave that. He chases after it, like... like a dog with a ball, and I'm like, what are you doing? Stand up. But it just, yeah, that's just me.
Poor Ellis. He's just trying to get his change. my icks. I'm going to say I have two. One is all black trainers.
Oh,
I don't know if you guys have all black trainers. Sorry if I'm insulting, but I don't know. I can't get. I really don't like all black trainers. Like the look of them. So whenever I see them, I just can't do it. And then red wine. Just because of the effect
red
it has.
Red wine.
Yeah. So
what, you've got an ick against
more,
red wine.
More what red wine does. So in terms of like lips, cheeks, teeth, things like that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just I don't know. I don't feel like it's a great look, but each their own for liking wine, and each their own for liking full black trainers. But
yeah, I wish was less specific with mine. I feel a bit bad for Ellis now.
Poor Ellis.
Steph, what about you?
I'd like to think that's the reason I'm single. I've just got too many icks. But I think. I'm just a bit weird because what should be an ick probably isn't. The one that really does bother me, and it's ridiculous because it's not how you should judge a person, but if you spell thank you as all one word, I will just stop talking.
I did that
to
today.
I don't care. And I'm sorry. But I can't. Yeah. So you could be my perfect man and be ticking all the boxes, and if you do that, I will just sort of shrink into
myself
slightly.
How should you do
slightly.
It? Thank dash you or
thank
space you?
Thank space. Yes, thank space you.
Yes. Two
okay.
words.
Fair
mate.
Enough, fair enough.
Okay.
As if I'm just, you know, it's just Steph's preference there. And the other one is bare feet. I hate bare feet. Trotting around with your trotters out. Don't do it.
It has lived that. Yeah.
Whoopsies.
To be fair, I can cope with girls.
Still like men's
but
hobby
boys,
feet.
Yeah, I don't like boys in like sliders with no socks. Not that I want socks on, put trainers on. Yeah. I can't. I don't want to see you.
Hairy feet.
Makes sense. Right. I hate wearing. Yeah. I was gonna say no socks. My bare feet. yeah, I'm very much a socks guy. I think like around the house and everything. Yeah. I like to have socks on.
Wow.
Good. See, that makes up for the thank you.
There you go. There's still chance, Ed. There's still
I'll
chance.
I consciously think of that thank you thing every time now I do it.
Good.
I'm so
good.
Sorry.
Anyway, that seems like a perfect time to wrap up and to jump ship on this episode. So just like users are on Twitter or, sorry, X, we'll be back soon with more digital ramblings. But until then, make sure you delve into our previous episodes and subscribe on your preferred platform so that you don't miss any new ones. If you have enjoyed what you've heard, please leave us a positive review and we'll see you soon. Bye.